Do you realize that at this moment in time, some 2,000 years ago, the Lord God looked at his son, his only begotten son, and he said, "It's time for you to get ready. You're going to have to leave heaven. You're going to enter into the womb of that which we created. You're going to be born in this world. And I'm sending you because those people on that world, those that have always, that have lived before, those people that are living now and the people that live in the future, I love them so much, I want to provide them a way, and so I'm going to give them a gift. And you're the gift, Jesus. You're the gift that we've been preparing for since the beginning of time. You're going to make it possible for all of those who call on the name of Jesus, who receive this gift. You're going to be the bridge that's going to connect me again with them. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to live the perfect life. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be betrayed. And yeah, you're going to have to die on the cross because that's the price that has to be paid. You'll be buried, but I'm going to raise you on that third day. And then we're going to have one party, one big party. Today, if you have never received that gift that was offered to all of us from our Heavenly Father, then after this service, let's talk about that. In fact, we have a place out here where you can go and you can receive information. I'd love to meet with you there. I'd love to talk with you, pray with this, but let's make this decision and get it done. So my message for this morning is simply this. I don't want you to miss Christmas. There are too many times in life when we go through the Christmas holidays, and when it comes to Christmas, we miss it. In fact, for some of us, this time of the year is not a very happy time. Maybe it's because it's memories of those that we've lost, or maybe it's because of things that have happened to us in the life, but this should be a joyous time for us, and today, I want to show you how you can make this Christmas the best Christmas you've ever had in your life. In 1957, there was a man by the name of Dr. Seuss. He wrote a story called The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. In 1966, that book was put on TV. How many of you have seen it before? We all have, right? Now, I'm going to age myself, but I want you to know that after Thanksgiving, the Charlie Brown Christmas and the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, this is what entered us into the Christmas season. We knew that when these two shows were on TV, it was only 4 weeks until Christmas. Now, do you remember in the movie of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, do you remember what his goal was? To keep Christmas from coming. But I don't want to disappoint you this morning, but I need to tell you that the Grinch wasn't the first person who tried to keep Christmas from coming. There was an individual, and we have to go back some 2,000 years to look at who this individual was, but there was someone who tried to keep Christmas from coming, and his name was King Herod. He liked to be called Herod the Great. Now, you remember that one of the things that the Grinch used to do is he would peer over his mountain and he would look down upon this place called Whoville. Remember? It looks something like this. And remember that as he peered over this mountain upon this little tiny village, he was determined to keep the joy and the happiness from coming. And so he decided if he could take away all of the presents, all of the parts, the tinsel, and all of the decorations for Christmas, that he could keep Christmas from coming. Remember? Well, you know what? That's the same thing that King Herod did. You see, King Herod, when he lived on this earth, or Herod the Great, as he liked to be called, he wanted to be better and he wanted to be higher than everyone else. One of the things he did is when he built his palace, he first built a mountain so that the mountain would be higher than even the local temple or synagogue. It looked something like this. Herod was infatuated with himself. And he saw himself as a god, and he wanted to be treated like a god. And so what he would do is he would go out on his porch, and he would look over the entire land that was under his jurisdiction. Here's what it looked like. This is actual footage from King Herod's palace. This is the land that he overlooked. You know what this land was that he was overlooking? It was a small village by the name of Bethlehem. Herod knew that Christmas was coming. And the problem was is that he had so much wealth. He had so much power. In fact, this palace that he built, the palace was able to house 1,000 soldiers plus the entire royal family for a year without ever having to leave the palace to find food or drink. In this palace, it was very luxurious. There were food bins, there were wine bins, there were swimming pools, there were steam baths. They had the best food, the best wine, they had the most luxurious rooms, and only the richest of the rich could ever come and spend time in Herod's castle. But Herod had a problem. And you know what his problem was? His problem was that he suffered from paranoia. He killed thousands of people. If Herod thought that you either inspired his throne or you felt like it was something that you were willing to go after, then you know what? He killed you. He was so insecure. He killed his brother because he thought his brother wanted the throne. He killed his brother's wife. He even killed and murdered his two sons because he thought that they all inspired to steal his throne. And when the wise men came and they said that this Messiah who would be born, now listen, King of the Jews, when Herod heard those words, he knew he had to destroy this individual, this Messiah, because nobody was going to steal him of his throne. Towards the end of life, Herod has said that he weighed in excess of 400 pounds. He literally had a crane that was built to remove him from his baths, from his steam rooms, because he was so large. And one of the things that we learned about the people that Herod was over is they hated him. And Herod knew it, but also they were scared of him, and Herod knew that too. You know how cruel Herod was? When he died, just before he died, he had more than 1,000 good men captured and imprisoned. And he wanted to ensure that on the day of his death, there would be grief. And so he put into a law that all of these that were incarcerated on the day of his death, at the moment of his death, they would all be murdered. And that's what happened. And that's how Herod ensured that on the day of his death, there was mourning and grief in the land. Herod was horrible. He was filthy rich, and he had more power than he knew what to do with. and he even knew when and where Christmas was going to take place. And you know what? He still missed it. He still missed it. And so this morning, I want us all to make sure on this very first day of December that none of us miss Christmas this year. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read part of this story from, excuse me, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus, his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth, thus fulfilling what the prophets he had said, "He will be called a Nazarene." This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, in all of the turmoil, the hustle, and the bustle of this world, don't let me miss Christmas. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's true that Herod missed Christmas, but not everybody did. Let me show you what I mean. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So here we have this rich, wealthy man by the name of Herod, who is very powerful. And then we have these group of shepherds. They're as poor as church mice, and they basically have no power. Herod has so much power that he can issue an order that all the young boys are to be slaughtered, and the people would follow that order. He lived in luxury. And what do we have of the shepherds? They're out in a field. Everything they have, they can carry with them. And they don't know anything. Do you realize that Herod had some of the sharpest and the wisest men around him, and the shepherds had no one around them? Herod had all the wealth, he had all the power, and the only power the shepherds had was controlling on which path the sheep would walk on that day. So why is it that Herod, who had every advantage, missed Christmas, and the shepherds found Christmas? Herod heard from all of the leading men, the leading research, where the baby was to be born. And the shepherds were surprised as they spent the night in their fields watching over their flocks. Now, I know one of the things that you probably are asking is why is this so important? Why are you talking about this contrast between Herod and these shepherds? And here's what I want you to hear from me today. The reason is because in our world today, our Christmas season is immersed, surrounded, and defined by Herodian-like wealth and luxury. And our schedules over the next 25 days are so busy that unless we actually make time, we will never hear what God has to say to us during this very important time of the season. My friends, you can know all the information about Christmas and still miss the Christ of Christmas. And it's critical that all of us find the Christ in Christmas, because if we don't follow the right example, we're going to be just like that Grinch who was overlooking Whoville and totally can't understand what is taking place. The way you find Christmas is you find Christ in the Christmas. Listen to this. Right now, in the United States, the average person spends $900 per person at Christmas. In the United States, our country will spend $200 billion plus for Christmas holidays. Now, in case you don't know what that looks like, that is, you can take a dollar bill and you can line it up end to end, and it will go around the world 800 times. Herod had that kind of money. He had that kind of wealth, and he missed Christmas. The shepherds didn't have that kind of wealth. They had poverty, and yet they were the ones that the angels came to announce that the baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Herod's life stayed the same, but the shepherd's life was changed forever. And so what I want to do just in a few minutes here this morning is I want to show you what I mean by this about missing Christmas. You know, we spend a lot of time and a lot of money shopping. In fact, a lot of you probably were out on Black Friday, And then it's funny because I've gotten all kinds of things on my cell phone saying, oh, we're extending Black Friday to today once again. But here's the thing that I am scared about, because this is sometimes how I felt. I always thought that my best Christmas was based on the number of gifts and the most expensive kind of gifts that I ever got. And here's what I've learned, is that sometimes because of this world that we live in, this luxury and wealth that we have, what I see is that the very thing that we think is going to bring joy to Christmas builds a wall between the baby Jesus and us. And I don't want that to happen in your life. Your happiness can't come from what you get at Christmas. Your happiness, your joy has to come from the greatest gift that was given to us, and his name is Jesus. These gifts will wear out. These presents will be old in a matter of months. And some of you that have grandchildren or small children, they'll be old in a matter of hours. Am I right? Oh, I'm tired of playing with that one. I want a new one. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced that in my life. My schedule gets so busy during Christmas season. There are all these services, there are all of these parties, there are all of these things that we have to do, and you know what happens? I focus so much on the doing that I forget to be. In every commercial that I've been watching over the last month, I've seen the new car, the new diamond, the new house, all of the new clothes. And you know what all of these advertisements promise us? They promise us happiness. But happiness is based on your experience. It's based on your circumstances. I want you to know joy. And so I want to give you three things today, three things that are going to help you to not forget Christmas. And here's the first one. You have to schedule time to find Christmas. I'm going to say that again. You have to schedule time to find Christmas. Here's the scripture verse. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Did you hear that, church? Jesus says, if you look for me, you will find me. When you schedule time to find Christ in Christmas, you will find him. And so let me just tell you what Lori and I are going to do. We talked about this yesterday. So we are every day, each day, we are going to have a time of devotions, the two of us together. We're going to get a wreath with the candles on it, and we're going to light the candle pertaining to what we're doing, and we are going to set aside specific time to find Jesus in Christmas. My friends, the shepherds had all the time they needed. Being a shepherd was very boring. It was very dull, and at times there would be incredible bouts of busyness and hard work, but they had a lot of time on their hands. And you know what they learned to do? They learned to live in the moment. Now listen very carefully. If you want to find the Christ in Christmas, you have to learn to live in the moment. And here's what that means. You're not going to be worried about everything you have to do tomorrow. You're not going to be worried about all of the lists that you have to fulfill and all of the food that you have to get and prepare and all the parties you have to go. You're going to live in the now. And as you live in the now, I promise you, you will find Christmas. There's one thing that all of us have as a gift from God, and it's the same gift, and here's what it is. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. You know what the difference is? The difference is what we do with that 24 hours. So here's what I want you to do. Put it on your calendar. Devotion with your family. Devotion with your spouse. Devotion with your friends. And for some of you, it may be devotions by yourself, but you won't be alone. Call us. We'll have devotions with you. But I don't want you to miss the importance of the meaning of Christmas. Gather your family, your children around and say, we're going to take a few moments and we're just going to look at a devotion. There's so many devotionals out there. Daily devotions. What's the one we've got there? The daily devotions with bread. I forget what it's called. Anyways, what's it called? Daily what? Daily bread devotions. That's what it is. I knew there was bread in there somewhere. All I'm saying is that find a time, even if you just read the scripture verse, read a couple verses and say, dear, what does that say to you? Here's what it says to me. And then close it with a prayer. It's real simple, but make and schedule that time. Here's the second thing. Be still. Whoo, that's a tough one, isn't it? It's hard to be still. In just a few minutes, we're going to celebrate communion. And what was interesting in first service is that there was a time between when the elements were being passed out and the people were getting ready, and it was just still and quiet. And you could feel how antsy people were. Look at what the scriptures say. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. I know if you're out in the middle of a field, it's easy to have peace. It's easy to hear the whispers of God as they echo off the mountains. These people had the angels come to them, but they made time to be still. And even if it's only for a couple minutes, maybe your drive to work. Maybe it's that you sit at home, and maybe rather than running to the football game or whatever, you just take 5 minutes and just sit and be still before the Lord. I promise you it will be rewarding. And here's the third thing. You got to bring your faith to the manger. You have to bring your faith to the manger. Look at the scripture verse. In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them to go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. You understand what happened here? God loved Herod so much that he even sent the wisest men in the world to him. Herod knew where this baby was to be born. So why didn't he believe? Because he had built so many walls that were so thick and so tall with luxury and wealth and power, there's no way that he could penetrate that. And my biggest fear is this is what we're doing. We think that our Christmas is going to be based on our presents and how many we get and how expensive they are. And that's what builds walls. And here is what the Bible is teaching us. It's teaching us to come before the manger and bow down. The Bible tells us that one day every knee will bow. That's going to happen when Jesus comes as judge. But I want us to bow down when he comes to us as Savior, as the gift. And by faith, we receive this gift. And this gift, not this gift, changes our lives.